If you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, we'll be speaking mostly from that text that is found there, in which the Apostle Paul deals with the things that are involved in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, there are other verses in the Bible that talk about this. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," Paul there on that occasion, he delayed his message unto midnight. Anyways, in that text we learn something about the where and the when, and also about the people who's to partake, the who. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to be talking about some other things. Specifically, we're going to talk about what and why and how. And hopefully by the time I get to the end, your mind will not be thinking about anything that I had to say, or focusing on me, or even on those who are going to lead prayers later on, but your mind will be focusing on the things that this memorial feast is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 then, beginning in verse number 23. Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together not unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come." It's a little bit of a lengthy text, and we won't cover every verse, obviously, in this particular text, but we're going to spend some time on things I think are significant. First of all, it is said in this text that Jesus told Paul, in directing the congregations, that they should do this. Actually, he said that twice, do this, and another time, do this. And he said that following the instruction to Paul, in which Jesus told Paul what he did the night he was betrayed. Jesus told Paul that he had taken some bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples, telling them to take and eat it. And then Jesus took the cup also after he had supped. And he, after giving thanks or blessing that, he gave it to the disciples and told them to drink it also in remembrance of him. And in each case, after telling Paul that, he said to Paul, do this in remembrance of me. That is taking the bread. Do this in remembrance of me, and that is taking the cup. Now that to me is specific authority. I don't know how you can get more specific than that.
Amen.
If you were to ask, what are we supposed to do? Jesus said, do this. And if you want to know what we're supposed to do, then read the text again, because it tells you very plainly what you're supposed to do. And I should think that all of us understand, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, these things are going to be done exactly the way the Lord prescribed them to be done. And we'll talk a little bit about the reasons and the how of it, but the way the Lord said to do it. that is what we are to do. And so you shouldn't be surprised that in a little while that we will partake of bread, we will take of the cup, the fruit of the vine, and we will do this in memory of Jesus Christ. So we know what we're supposed to be doing. I'd like to just go aside for a brief moment. The eating and the drinking is ceremonial in nature. It's not literal eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ. It's ceremonial. It has to do with the idea of doing something that represents something else, or something, in this case, we are supposed to be remembering. And so the bread is given to us that we would remember his body that was offered or given for us. And the cup is presented that we might remember his blood that was shed for us. And the partaking of these things, there is in the ritual observance, if you would, the need for our minds to be focused on what these things are all about. That word focused. Most of you know I grew up as a Catholic. And there's a lot of ritualism in Catholicism. So I was well trained growing up in dealing with rituals for the purpose of focusing on something. I mean, sometimes literally hours and sometimes even weekends were spent doing this kind of thing. Not particularly the Lord's Supper, because the Catholics partake of the Lord's Supper in a more literal sense, and the Lord being sacrificed over and over again, these are not taught in this passage. But there is some ritualistic aspects to this, and there's a danger that we can even not be considering what we're doing, let alone why we're doing it or how we should be doing it. We're just going through the motion. One of the dangers of doing ritualistic things is just going through the motions of it. But we should be focused on what we are doing. We should know exactly what we are doing, and that it is following the commandment that Jesus gave to Paul to give to the churches, as he did here in Corinth. Amen. And we should be happy when we do exactly that, even if it is the, I don't know, 200th or 2,000th time we've done it. We should be happy to follow that teaching that Jesus gave unto Paul on an occasion. Secondly, this is a memorial feast. When you talk about the why of doing this, it's a memorial feast. It's like the Passover under the Old Covenant was a memorial meal. They were to do that to remember something. Not to remember to eat, but to remember something about their deliverance from Egypt. And we are to partake of this meal to remember something. In this case, the something is a person. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And again, that is specific. What are you supposed to be remembering when you partake of the Lord's Supper? That tells you what should be on your mind when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper. We're supposed to be remembering the Lord himself. The various elements of it are intended to, if you would, jog our memories, to think of his body that was offered, to jog our mind, to be focused on his blood that was shed for us. Sometimes I hear brethren say something along the lines of this: we need to make worship more meaningful, or we need the Lord's Supper to be more meaningful. We need to do things to make it more meaningful. That troubles me, because it suggests to me that it's sometimes we don't really understand what we are told to do and why we're told to do it. I don't partake of the Lord's Supper in such a way to make it more meaningful to me. What I partake of the Lord's Supper for is to remember my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In remembering him, I will get out of it what the Lord intends for me to get out of it. And that's good for me, to remember him. It's good for me to have my mind focused on him and on him alone. Sometimes, even in the way that I'm accustomed to partaking of the Lord's Supper, the one who gives the introductory remarks, when I do it normally, it's about 3 minutes long. This is going to be a little longer than that, but sometimes the speaker will get off in all kinds of directions. And so I will actually just tune him out. Tune him out and start focusing on what the scripture tells me to focus on. And sometimes I've heard speakers talk about current events and try to bring that in and haul our minds from such a faraway distance into what we're supposed to be doing. I could preach you a lesson from the book of Hebrews, all about Jesus Christ, because the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to do that here now, because this memorial feast is intended for a specific reason, and that's for you to remember Christ and the things that are given for us to do. Do this in remembrance of me. Actually, we could take the Lord's Supper without me or anyone else ever saying anything preparatory to it. We could. And so what I'm doing is kind of additional, not to what the Lord commanded, but intended to get you focused on what we're going to do in a little while. Because we're not taking the Lord's Supper right now. And hopefully by the time I get done, we'll be focused in that one direction. But there is this singular purpose in this very simple ceremony, if you would, that is intended that our minds would be focused on Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart, it is absolutely important for every one of us to do this focused on Jesus Christ, thinking of him, being mindful of him. I do also believe there's somewhat of a danger if I start talking about things that pull your mind away from that. So I restrain myself from doing that. As to the how, we are told here that this is a memorial feast that is to be eaten individually. How do we know that? Well, if you drop back down into the text, it says there, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup." There is the thing we are to do, and there's the how that each of us is to do it. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. That is individual in nature. I know we take it together in the assembly, but when I partake of the Lord's Supper, I am the one who am to do this. After examining myself, that I would partake of the Lord's Supper in a manner that is worthy of the one that I am remembering. And you ought to do the same thing yourself. You can't do that for me. And I can't do that for you. There's nothing I can say that will make another Christian take the Lord's Supper in the way that the Lord wants him or her to do it. You have to do that yourself. You have to take your thoughts, your mind, and you have to bring them under control and start thinking about what you're supposed to be thinking about. And I can't do that for you. As a matter of fact, when I sit down to partake of the Lord's Supper, if I am actually doing what this verse says, you won't even know it. And if you're doing what this verse says, I won't know you're doing it either. It could be possible for me not to partake in a worthy manner and everybody else here to partake in a worthy manner. Or some vice versa of that. My partaking of the Lord's Supper is not dependent on your doing so worthily. It's dependent on my doing so worthily. It's dependent on my doing a proper self-examination and then partaking of this meal in a manner that is worthy of the Lord's body and blood, that which is offered up for me. And that's kind of a serious thing. That's kind of an aspect that probably we don't really consider before we take a Lord's Supper. But I want to encourage you that in the process of, even now if you tune me out, or in between, or when you're just about to partake of the Lord's Supper, that you've gone through this process of self-examination. Hopefully you've already done it, so that you can partake in a manner that is worthy. If there happens to be a problem, then we ought to be praying for the Lord's chastening that's discussed in this passage, that we would not be condemned or judged, that in the end we will get ourselves straightened out and start doing this, not only the what and the why, but the how properly. That our minds, that our hearts would be attuned to the things that are involved in this Lord's Supper. Now let's go back and let's read one more time what the Lord told Paul to do and why they were to do it. And as we're reading this, try to bring your mind in tune with these instructions. That those who come up to lead our thoughts in prayer, and then we partake of the emblems that are involved in this memorial feast, that we will actually be focused in doing what the Lord has told us to do. This is what Jesus gave to Paul to instruct the church at Corinth, and indeed us today, in assembling for the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."